Joshua chapter 4, I want to begin reading with verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. We're going to give a message, a title tonight. Children ask. When your children ask. We see in this passage of Scripture God giving Joshua instruction concerning the assembling of a memorial, so that every time anybody passed by that memorial, they would ask, what's that mean? What's that stand for? As we search the Scriptures, we find out that our God is a God that institutes memorials. We see it throughout the Old Testament. But we also see it in the New Testament. Memorials act as reminders because human beings are prone to forget. And even those who know the truth, even those who claim to believe the truth, forget. We need reminding. Memorials serve as testimonies also to those who do not know, to those who were not present, or those who do not understand the things that God's people might. I believe the Lord's church, the local assembly, the body of Christ, is a living memorial to Jesus Christ. And all, what a privilege is ours, after the Lord has saved us by His grace, that He would see fit to put us in a sound New Testament Baptist church, a living memorial to Him. Oh, that ought to thrill our hearts. In the last days, we're told, many shall depart from the faith. Oh, how can they depart if they understand the preciousness of the Lord's church?
Amen.
Oh, if you're on the verge of departing, why would you depart truth, Brother Asbury?
Amen.
Why would you depart a New Testament Baptist church that meets the scriptural definitions of a church? Why would you leave the living memorial to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Unto God be glory in the church, Ephesians tells us. Church is a living memorial. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 11, as oft as we eat, as oft as we drink, we do it to show the death of Jesus Christ. It is a memorial. I believe the Lord's Supper was designed to take each and every one of us who are saved and a member of a true church. I believe it was designed to take us back.
Amen.
To the day the Lord saved us and became real to us. And as we search ourselves and examine ourselves and confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And it's like, best way I can put it is getting a clean slate all over again. We take of that Lord's Supper with everything clean and clear before God. It's like starting all over again. Isn't that great? It's a memorial. It's a memorial supper. This evening I want us to focus in on another memorial. That's the memorial of baptism. Brother Asbury said, this is a Baptist meeting. Well, you can't get much more Baptistic than to look into the Word of God about baptism. It is what separates us more than probably many other things from all the others in the world. Many of our forefathers have died to preserve the ordinance of baptism. And we are here by the grace of God tonight, but by the grace of God we are here because many have suffered and many have died because of the truth of baptism. God said to Joshua, when your children ask, what do we tell our children about His church? Do we just make them go and assume they understand what it's all about? We talk about teaching children, training up children. Is all they hear from us is, get ready, we have to go to church? Or do we explain things to them? Folks, that's our task. That's our responsibility.
Amen.
They need to know church is more than just something we have to do on Sundays and Wednesdays.
Amen.
They ought to see the preciousness of it. Amen. Explain to them. By the grace of God, one day He'd make it effectual. Amen. To where they would see and understand it.
Amen.
The Lord's Supper. We ought to explain to our children what that means. Why Mama or why Daddy or taking of those elements and what those things represent, what the Lord did for them.
Amen.
When He saved their soul, and why they don't partake of it when they're lost and without Christ.
Amen.
And why even when adults are visiting a church, they're forbidden from taking of it. All those things are teaching points. When your children ask, what are we telling our children about the Lord's memorials? What are we telling our children about the Lord's church? What are we telling our children about the Lord's Supper? What are we telling our children about baptism? Now, there may be exceptions here, but baptism is one of those things that doesn't seem to come around as often as we'd like.
That's right.
We don't see that ordinance in this day and time as frequently as we did in bygone years. And I don't know why it is, but we don't hear much preaching and we don't hear much teaching about baptism. The doctrine that so sets us apart from the world, and folks, the ordinance that sets us apart from Protestantism and all the false so-called Baptist churches that are out there, The ordinance that says so much about what we believe, we're saying nothing about it.
Right.
And because it is so infrequent that we observe it, I fear that many important things about baptism being lost to folks in our Baptist churches. Why is it we have folks who can sit in Baptist churches for years who don't understand the importance of baptism? We have them, folks. We have folks who have been Baptist and on Baptist church rolls for years and years and years, and could not even explain the difference between Baptist baptism and all the other baptisms.
Amen.
That don't understand the sacrifice that our forefathers went through because of that ordinance called baptism. We meet year after year here in Paducah, and year after year in Mount Norris, Michigan, and year after year in various places, and we meet without any thought of any fear or persecution. But our forefathers faced fear and persecution all the time because of what they believed about baptism.
Amen. Amen.
I don't think they ever let it slip what baptism was all about.
Amen.
They watched their children slaughtered because of their stand on the ordinance of baptism. And we have many with the name Baptist who do not even understand the importance of baptism. Are we telling our children? Are we teaching our children? When it is observed, are we taking the time to explain to little minds what that is all about? Oh, we want them to be successes in every other area of life. We want them to know all the latest math and always get good grades. And excel in things that are all going to pass away. And we give little attention to telling them about this ordinance.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Now I know it's all of the Lord, and I'm not going to go down that road very far. I know our young people are not ours to lose. But I also know that we have many young people growing up in Baptist churches about this ordinance called baptism.
Amen. Amen.
When your children ask, just want to notice four or five things here about the ordinance of baptism that we need to teach to our children. We need to teach to ourselves, lest we forget. We certainly need to teach to new converts and new Christians and people who visit our services. When our children ask, or we're teaching our children, or whoever we're talking to about baptism, we need to relay to them that baptism is an act of obedience. We don't hear much about that, even when Baptists preach on baptism. We don't talk much about obedience. But folks, we are commanded to obey the Lord our God. To serve the Lord our God with all that we have. And God has some rules, and God has some expectations, and God has some commands, even in this day of grace. There are things that He teaches us in His Word we are to do. And baptism is an act of obedience to our Lord. We don't hear much about the Lordship of Jesus Christ anymore. But He is Lord. He owns us totally. And when we follow our Lord in baptism, we are following our Lord in obedience to His example, to His command, to His Word. We all know Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What was the next part? Baptizing them. Not in the name of the church.
Amen.
Not in the name of the preacher.
Right.
But in the name of the Father.
Amen.
This is an ordinance God has set up.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came and John the Baptist said, "Oh no, I have needs to be baptized of you." And Jesus said, "No, I have come to be baptized of you to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
The Father has appointed me. I must do all that is appointed to me to do."
Amen.
He was obedient to the Father.
Amen.
We want to tippy-toe around things and not offend anybody and be politically correct. We're afraid we're going to get all of our terminology mixed up and say something that doesn't gel with something else. God is sovereign. But God also commands some things. And the sovereignty of God does not eliminate my responsibility to say to somebody who is saved, God expects, God commands you, God teaches you in His Word, you should follow your Lord in baptism. You should want to be obedient. Baptism is done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is done in the name of the triune God.
Amen.
It's an act of obedience. We don't like that word obedience.
Right.
When God tells us to jump, we want to say, "Well, you don't have the right to tell me to jump. Or explain to me why I should jump." Folks, we're His property. We ought to tell our young people, that person there being baptized is obeying the command, the teachings of God.
Amen.
And even when they're lost and young, we can say, now that's the responsibility of all human beings. Now hear what I said, all human beings. We focus so much on just teaching and preaching to God's people. But the lost are accountable and responsible to God. And we need to tell lost folks. They're breaking God's commands. And although they're lost, they should be in obedience to their Creator. Obedience. It's not a bad word. Part of the reason our society is falling apart is parents don't think they should expect obedience from their children. I think I can say this down south. I think I've said it here before. Well, that's hogwash.
Amen.
We ought to command obedience from our children.
Amen.
Expect obedience from our children.
Amen.
Teach them it is their responsibility in obedience to God to be obedient to their mother and their father.
Amen.
And when a person is following their Lord in baptism, they are performing an act of obedience to Him. Just as Christ was obedient to the Father.
Amen.
And there's so much we can teach, not just children, but all who observe the ordinance about obedience to God. Obedience to the Lord. Acts 8:37. The eunuch asked Philip what hindered him from being baptized. And Philip's response was, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, but thou mayest not before." I added a little bit there in case you're thinking I'm misquoting. Nobody has any business being baptized until they first know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's one of those things that sets us apart as Baptists from the rest of religions of the world. That's why we don't baptize babies. That's why we say nobody has a right, nobody will even be considered to become a member of one of our churches until they are first and foremost not baptized, but first and foremost they be saved by the grace of God. They can't even be considered as a candidate for baptism unless they know the Lord Christ as their Savior. That's because, second of all, baptism is a declaration of one's salvation.
Amen.
You see that person being baptized? They're being obedient to the Lord. You see that person being baptized? They're professing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's it take us back to? It takes us back to Jesus Christ. It takes us back to the precious lifting up of Jesus Christ. Ordinances such as the Lord's Supper and baptism are preaching ordinances. Our forefathers, by the millions, died because of their stand on faith first. Works second. Faith in Christ first, obedience second. Salvation, then declaration of that salvation next. These things are much abused. Lord's Supper is much abused. Church of the Lord is much abused. Baptism is much abused. But it's got to be established in our hearts and minds as Baptists what baptism is all about, lest we be guilty of abusing it.
Amen.
Lest we get to the point where we don't think it's that big of a deal. Rather be a part of their salvation. We're not. We ought to stand against the baptism of babies.
Yes.
Baptism for salvation. Works. And these things slip many times because we stay so close in our circles. Well, we all believe that in our little church. Not every visitor who's going to come into your church is going to believe that. Don't sit there like a bumping along and assume your children understand what these things are all about. You better teach them. You better express to them why we are Baptists and why we are peculiar. Not because we want to be peculiar and stand out, but because these are things God has given us to contend for. They were once delivered and we must contend for them. Let's go over to Romans 6.
Amen.
I'm just going to read one verse. It'll be verse number 4.
Amen.
Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Do people we're baptizing understand that they're not just getting wet, but they're being obedient to the Lord? They are declaring their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are also declaring that by that ordinance, when they come up out of that water, that they are promising, if you would, to walk in newness of life. Why is it in our Baptist churches, holiness and separation and being different from the world is so railed against? People sitting in the pews of Baptist churches despise teaching and preaching on separation. How can that be in Baptist churches? How can it be that we've gotten to the point that Baptists who are separated from everyone else because the Lord didn't start a multiplicity of churches, folks. He only started one kind. I know that's narrow, but that's Bible. The Lord started His kind of a church. He promised His kind of church perpetuity. His kind of church is still here today. And if it's one of His true churches, it will be have started right and it will be a defender of the ordinances. And a part of the ordinance of baptism includes our walking in newness of life. Our declaring we are dead to the old man, alive to the new man. We ought to walk different, talk different, dress different, go different places. We ought to remove all doubt that we've been with Christ by our conduct once we have followed our Lord in scriptural baptism. It boggles my mind that you have religious groups out there that they can teach and preach separation harder than us, and their people don't balk at it. But Baptists, who know what this verse says, balk at holiness and separation. Being a peculiar people. Holiness is a part of baptism, folks. We're not the same person. We were before the Lord saved us. And we're declaring we've crucified the flesh. And we're alive to Christ. Baptism comes after the soul has been saved. And it begins the saving of the life. Many, many Baptists have scriptural baptism and they're members of Baptist churches and their lives are being lost because they will not walk in newness of life. First Corinthians 12. Corinthians 12. 1 13. For by one Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. I believe that's the church, the local assembly. It's not a universal body. It's not Spirit baptism of any kind. I believe this is water baptism. I believe it's the Spirit of God that leads and works within the heart of the individual to follow the Lord in baptism. And in following the Lord in baptism, they become, if you would, a member of the Lord's local assembly. That's the one body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. When we speak to children, our children, our grandchildren, visitors, the unlearned, the untaught, we need to tell them what baptism is all about. Baptism is an act of obedience. Baptism is a declaration of one's salvation. It has nothing to do with their being saved. Baptism should be followed by a holy life, by a walking in newness of life. But folks, you can't be baptized separate and apart from membership in a New Testament Baptist church. What that does is make baptism a commitment.
Right.
been in the ministry very long at all, you'll have folks, eventually you'll come to your church, they just want to be baptized. Oh, I don't want to be a church member. I just want to be baptized. I know that's really important. I'm a Christian. I need to be baptized. Will you baptize me? But don't make me a church member. I just want to get baptized and go out and live the way I want to. I don't believe we should administer the ordinance of baptism without it being designed to bring the individual into membership and responsibility of the mission or of a church. We have, with the name Baptist upon countries, and dunking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds according to their report, but there's no church there. Nor are they added to any church. I don't believe in Scripture you can separate the ordinance of baptism or the Lord's Supper from the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church. You can't observe the Lord's Supper unless you're a member of the Lord's Church that is administering it. And when baptism is administered, you are received into the membership of that church. It's a commitment. Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, young or old, when the church, the local assembly, administers baptism, you're making a commitment. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. That's local church. Folks are baptized in the membership of the local church. Commitment. I can remember in West Milton baptizing a lady, and as soon as we baptized her, we never saw her again. I mean, we'd go to the door, me and Brother Bill Tankersley, and I know she was in there. She's hiding. So we finally had to write her. Wanting to know where she's been. Hadn't been to church since the day we baptized her. She wrote me back this nasty little letter. You didn't tell me when you baptized me you expected me to come to church. If that's true, shame on me. But we need to teach these things. It's a commitment. You're being received into the fellowship of the Lord's church. I wonder, surely in a conference like this, everybody here's just as close to the Lord as they can be. But I wonder if there's not somebody here for these services who, if you really think about it, you're not being faithful to the commitment you made when you followed your Lord in baptism. Church, and you're in that condition, you ought to want to get right tonight. If you're here and you're a member of another New Testament Baptist church, and you know since you were scripturally baptized in the membership of that church, you've not been faithful to your commitment, you need to get back to that church. Demands faithfulness. God deserves faithfulness. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God help us not to take His church for granted. So many of us here, so many of you here just like me, we've grown up in this. We've really not known anything else. Some can give testimony of, you know, coming out of Catholicism and the depths of sin, but so many of us, this is all we've known. And that tends to breed a little bit of apathy, a little less zeal in our teaching the importance of the Lord's church. I would say to you tonight, there's no baptism before salvation. There's no church membership without baptism. And whatever you believe about the Lord's bride, however you believe you get there, you cannot argue with the fact that faithfulness is required.
Amen.
However you get there, I'm not going to get into any of those side issues. You won't get there without faithfulness. If you're not faithful to your commitment in baptism and what you profess when you went under those waters, you're going to be in heaven and you're going to be glad to be there, but you're going to be watching as they start saying, "Hallelujah. The marriage of the Lamb has come. And His wife, the bride, has made herself ready." But you won't be in it. You won't be in her without these things. That's how important they are. The ordinance of baptism